Foreigner was only the second band behind the Beatles to have their first eight singles crack the top 20.
Wow.
Lou Gramm, lead singer and songwriter, is on the show right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Very cool to have you on.
Yes.
Thanks for waking up.
Sure, you got it. I'm up early anyways.
Are you? You rock star types usually don't get up that early.
No, I'm usually up by 6:30, 6:45.
Cool.
Doing every day.
Doing what?
I work out. I have things that I need to do in the morning, and it also at this point in my life it feels good to get up early.
That's cool.
That's excellent, man.
You're from Rochester originally?
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tomorrow at the Oyster Festival, it's kind of a local show for you.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
I think it's going to be.
It's going to be great. We're going to have perfect weather.
Yep.
They're setting up the stage right now. So if you want to say hi to the crew setting up the stage, you could do that.
Hey, guys.
Do a good job.
Yeah. Make it sturdy. Make sure it's level.
All right. Lou likes the stage level.
Right.
What did you grow up listening to?
I grew up listening to the Beatles, for sure, and that first British wave. I don't know if you remember the Kingsmen. Louie, Louie.
Dan, Dan.
Oh.
Yes.
We got That's right. That's right. That quick era before the British wave was really interesting, too. And, I just liked listening in general.
As a vocalist, were there any, you know, singers that you kind of related to or idolized?
Definitely. John Lennon, to be sure.
Nice.
Paul Rogers, Steve Winwood.
Those are some great voices.
Exactly right. But yours is great also. So
yeah, yours is very unique.
Yeah, it's strong.
I mean, it's really strong and distinctive.
And I was heavily influenced by Motown, too. You know, I loved Aretha Franklin and Marvin Gaye. I thought they had great voices.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you get a chance to meet any of those guys? Like, you know, you grew up listening to them, and then you become a giant rock star, and then now you're in the room with them?
Well, I met and hung out with Paul Rogers for a good long time. We're friends now, you know.
Cool.
I met Winwood. I met Steve Marriott from Humble Pie.
Wow.
You know, I think I met quite a few of the of my heroes. Anyways, I met John Lennon. I spent an hour with John Lennon when he was recording his oldies track with Phil Spector.
Oh, wow.
Really?
At that time, I was in a band called Black Sheep, and we were recording our first album on Capitol Records.
Wow.
In the studio next door. And there was a break room with a pool table in there. And I walked in there and John was shooting pool and asked me if I wanted to shoot a game of pool with him.
Nice.
So I did. And we just talked about everything, including music. And he asked me where we were recording. I told him we were right next to him. And it was our first album on Capitol Records and he wished me luck. And that's the last I saw him.
Who won the game?
He won.
He did.
Did you let him win?
Like, you let him win. I
was not a great pool player, but he was very good.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Right. And it's John Lennon, too.
Exactly.
So,
right.
That had to be so weird.
Right. Like mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, Black Sheep.
I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was afraid I was going to lose it initially, but I mean, that's a guy that I would have given anything to meet, and here he was asking me to shoot a game of pool with him. I totally kept my cools.
Nice.
That's good for you.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
Yeah, when I launched a ball off the table.
John friggin' Lennon. Right. You scratch a cue into John Lennon's head.
Right. Ow!
Dike. Ouch.
Ow.
Sorry.
Or you put the pool cue through the fabric on the pool table.
Right, right. That's it. Instant karma's going to get you.
Right. You trip over the stick.
End of game, John. Got to go.
Yeah. Right. Oops.
So Black Sheep ended up opening for Kiss, right?
Yeah, we did.
Nice.
A number of good bands over their short time together. Yeah, we opened for Kiss. We did shows also with Argent.
Nice.
You remember that band at all?
Hold your head
Absolutely.
Up.
Yep. Hold your head up.
Yep.
Yes.
You have to.
that was former members of the Zombies.
Oh wow!
With other people, they became Argent. We toured with a lot of different bands.
You guys had a car accident or truck accident when you were touring with Kiss, right?
Yeah, we played Boston Academy of Music, and we got a standing ovation. Of course, we had to ask Kiss's tour manager if we could answer our ovation, because a lot of times when you're done with your set, they just want to get you out of there.
Right.
But he saw the crowd was very, you know, enthusiastic about us coming back to do another song. He goes, yeah, go ahead, you know.
Cool.
So did one more song, and they loved it. And then we got off the stage, changed, and went out in the audience to hear Kiss. And then on the way home, it was sleet, freezing rain.
Oh.
And the guys in the band, we were in a big old Ford Galaxy station wagon. We all made it back to Rochester, because this was Boston to Rochester. And I went to bed. About 4 a.m, I got a call from one of the road crew saying that the truck hit a patch of ice, slid off the New York State Thruway, and tipped over on its side.
Oops.
Oh.
And they said they got some bumps and bruises, but everybody's okay.
Cool.
And they got the truck back on all four wheels, and it was flatbedded out of there. And they were at a gas station now where the truck was. Could we come and pick them up?
And there's one hell of a drum solo, too.
You're right.
I heard that was a cornet.
I got one of the other guys in the band, and we went back with the wagon and picked them up. We tried to get the sliding door on the truck open so we could assess the damage, and it went up about 6 inches, and then it jammed.
Oh.
So the next day was Christmas. So the day after Christmas, we went back there with crowbars and stuff, got the door open, and could see that the B3, the legs were swept right out from underneath it. There was no legs on the B3 anymore.
Oops, oh.
The amps were pushed in, speakers smashed, and the amps were not square anymore. They were like parallelograms.
Oh, flattened.
Yeah, they were crushed, you know.
Damn, yeah.
And you know, we were supposed to be in Miami 2 days after Christmas to start the full tour with Kiss.
Oops.
And we begged our parents to please help us out to get a used truck and some decent equipment so we could fulfill our obligation and promote our album.
Yeah, it's played to Santa.
You know what, though? There was a huge recession in the States at that time, and they could not help us.
Oh, man.
Well, then we called, who do you think we called next? The record company, who should stand behind us and give us a little money to promote the album.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing no, huh?
They told us no. They dropped the band from the label.
Oh.
And then Kiss dropped us from the tour.
Oh.
Ouch.
That's it.
You know,
that's a point to make.
We're talking
them.
To Lou Gramm, but you know, I kind of feel okay with that happening, because what happens next is
right
music history.
It set the pace to him. Yes.
Maybe you wouldn't have ended up
right
with Mick, yeah, and writing all these great songs.
Right.
Oh yeah. You never know. So the guys in Black Sheep and I used to meet every 2 or 3 days and kind of talk about what we could do next. We were going to save our money from our part-time jobs and buy some small amps and start playing clubs in Rochester again. And that felt horrible to desire to do that just to keep playing.
Yeah.
Start all over.
So it was about
square one. Yeah.
About that time that my dad called me, and he said, somebody called a house named Mick and wants to talk to you. I said, Mick?
Jagger? Well,
because
there's quite a few Micks out there to find. Yeah.
So listen, Black Sheep's manager was an A&M records rep, and Spooky Tooth was on A&M records. So when they had come to town about 6 months before the truck accident, we went to see them and got backstage to meet all the guys in Spooky Tooth, including Mick. And I gave Mick both of the Black Sheep albums. I says, I just want you to listen to this. This is what I'm doing with this band. You know?
Right.
So apparently he did. And he was calling my dad to let him know that Spooky Tooth was no longer, and he was putting together his own band and wanted to know if I was interested in auditioning.
Wow. Damn. Like the stars aligned. But how did he get your dad's number? Did he look in like a phone book, or did he have the number attached to the CD?
I don't think my
it's not CD, but record number or tape.
It wasn't, their number wasn't unlisted, so it was fairly easy to get.
Wow.
Right. Thank goodness for that.
That's something.
Thanks, Dad, for answering the phone.
So when I talked to Mick, I told him that it was awesome that he was putting together his own band, and I told him what happened to Black Sheep, and he asked if I wanted to come and audition, and I said, I would like to, but I says I still have deep allegiance to Black Sheep, and I believe that we stand a small chance of getting back together and doing what we set out to do. He says, well, listen, he says, you work on that. He says, and I'll call you back in about 3 or 4 weeks. So when I told the guys in Black who had called and that he wanted me to come in and audition, they said, Lou, look, our dreams are awesome, but I think I don't think none of it's going to pan out. We had our short time. Go see what you can do in New York.
Wow.
That was cool of them to do that.
That was.
Very, very cool of them.
Yeah.
So reluctantly, I flew to New York and went to a recording studio where the guys in Foreigner were, most of them, and they had a couple tracks on tape. It feels like the first time at War with the World, and Mick wrote me out the lyrics, and so the track played with no vocals, and Mick sang me the melody, and then he pushed me out in the studio to sing the song. I really wasn't familiar with it, but after a couple times through, I got the hang of it, and I did okay. Matter of fact, I did so good that my demo tape, my audition tape, is the tape they sent out to the record companies to garner a deal.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, see, stars aligned, man.
Damn.
So I went there with a duffel bag with two T-shirts, a change of underwear, and a couple pairs of socks.
Nice.
I was there 2 weeks.
Oh, what kind of underwears now? Are these tidy whities or boxers?
Back in the day,
they're whites.
I'm
right?
Guessing tidy whities. Leopard print. No,
boxers during the day, tidy whities on stage.
There you go. See?
Really? Right. Why was that?
To keep everything in place.
You want to show the goods.
Keep the boys tight.
You want to show
keep
the
them
goods.
In place.
Right.
Also, keep them in place.
It helps your voice also.
Wow. So
yes, it does.
Lou Graham is on the phone. He's playing the Milford Oyster Festival tomorrow on the Subway stage.
Yeah.
We'll be very excited to introduce you tomorrow.
Yes.
So, you paid all of your dues before Foreigner. Once that first album came out, though, you guys were instant rock stars, correct?
It seemed that way, but it was a difficult pace to keep up with because we weren't used to that,
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like pushing to the fast lane, boom, off you go.
Right. You're going from calling your parents to help you with equipment to
go!
Huge album.
Yes.
And cracking the top 20 with singles, and I'm sure the whole world, you're completely in demand. Do you remember the first time you heard yourself sing on the radio?
Yes, Dennis Elliott and I were driving into Manhattan. We lived in Westchester County. We used to drive into rehearsals in Manhattan together, and we were on the FDR, and all of a sudden it was Scott Muni from WNEW.
Wow,
damn,
the professor,
yes.
And he's saying, "Here's a new group, half Brits, half Americans. They call themselves Foreigner." And then. Feels like the first time came on.
Nice. Damn.
Wow. It was the first time,
Dennis
too.
And I were so excited, we had to pull over to the side of the road.
Nice. Of all the people and all the stations, in all the cities you could have been, what a perfect place. Driving into New York,
right.
Scott Muni, here you are.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That is cool.
It was perfect.
Yep. Goosebumps here.
Goosebumps.
Nice.
And then... you guys had so many great albums, and Foreigner 4 seems like that was like a pinnacle album for you guys. And
so too, I love that album.
Great album. And then eventually, I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. You continue.
I was going to say that it seems like after that, you and Mick had like creative differences. Was that, I just read this stuff. I don't know. But was that true? Like, you wanted to be more rock band. He wanted to be more synthesizer.
Yes. That's right. When he and I would get together to start preparing material for the album, you know, usually it was heavy guitar chords and awesome rock beat and everything, and suddenly, and I think he, you know, I don't think he'd ever own up to this, but I think he was influenced by other artists that were having hits with mid-tempo synthesized half rocker, half ballad.
There
was a lot of that happened.
Like a swarm.
Even Van Halen, 1984 album,
they succumbed.
Starts with synthesizer. In fact, they hire Mick to produce their first album without Dave.
Oh.
While you guys were still together, did that bother you? Were you like, hey, man?
We'll help you. Yeah.
Over here. You should be over here working on this band.
It didn't bother me. I thought it was a great opportunity for him. However, by that time already, I felt that Foreigner was hanging in the balance.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
If it was a lot of synthesized stuff, minimal guitar, which is his instrument and the signature sound of Foreigner.
Right.
How could you minimize that?
Yeah.
And ballad after ballad, you know, we did Waiting for a Girl. That was a big hit. Then I Want to Know What Love Is, which was our only number one song. That was number one around the world. Beautiful song with the gospel choir and everything, you know, had a great message. But ensuing albums after that, there was also always this big, blown up, boomy production ballad that you know was earmarked to be a big single, not only by Mick, but by Atlantic Records too.
Right. It seems like they were on the same page there. Let's make hits.
Right.
Yeah. They I felt that they were trying to turn us into Air Supply.
Oh, right. God, no. Shudder the thought.
You know, nobody, you could hear it.
Yeah, I could hear what they were trying to do.
So suddenly, the rock ballads and the things that made us who we were way in the back seat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that happened to a lot of bands in the 70s. If you look at their sound in the 70s, Chicago, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, they all became the synthesizer, 3.5-minute song hit
Wedding
makers
playlists.
In the 80s.
Yes.
But good for you for, you know, having some integrity and some, you know, really core beliefs about what you wanted to do.
Thanks for having balls, basically. Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't want to get into this with you because, you know, you're a good guy. And
yes.
We're very excited to see you tomorrow.
I can't wait, man.
Lou Gramm on stage at Milford Oyster Festival. But I went to see Foreigner, and as good as they are, it's not Foreigner.
No, it's not.
I almost feel like there should be some drop of blood from an original band
there
to be able
be.
To call it that name.
Exactly, yeah.
And
they spell it differently.
Well, Mick was always that original drop of blood, but he is not in condition to play at all anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
He has serious health issues that I think are going to sideline him.
Yeah. That's a bummer. So now, if that happens, do you get the name Foreigner?
No, it's his name.
Gotcha.
No. He thought of the name. He registered the name. I got a cease and desist because I was booking my tour as Lou Gramm, the original voice of Foreigner.
Right.
I got a cease and desist.
That sucks.
From Mick.
Really?
That really does blow.
It's true, though. You are the original voice of Foreigner.
It's
You're not
a
lying.
Lie.
Yeah.
Anything that wasn't true, I wasn't blowing it out of proportion. I just spoke a few words of the truth, just if there was anybody who didn't know after that advertisement, they would know.
Yeah,
I hear you.
And I had to stop doing it right away.
Yeah, bummer. But you know what? You're the guy that people want to see.
It's
you
true.
Want to hear the guy who sang the song,
it's sing true.
The song. So we're going to see that tomorrow at the Milford Oyster Festival. And by the way, I don't know if you checked the weather. Perfect.
It's going to be nice, man.
Perfect.
I can't wait.
And Lou, I have a present for you if you'd like it.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys play
right
Urgent?
Now?
Yes, right now. I'm going to give it to you right
now.
Oh,
yeah.
You
Absolutely,
guys play
yes.
Urgent. Now, do you have a sax?
Oh, of course.
You have a sax player for that?
We do, yeah.
Okay,
why, you got a sax player?
Yeah, I don't have a gift then.
We say the receipt.
I have a guy who could play that solo note for note.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
All right, but you got someone, so yeah. So you're good.
Yeah, you better.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, touring and playing that song as often as we do, we better have someone.
You better.
Huh?
I thought maybe you replace it with,
right.
I don't know, maybe well, not a synthesizer.
If something happens tomorrow, we got somebody.
Yeah, we got a backup for
it. Yeah, if he doesn't make it over there, you know what?
Yeah, but such an
maybe
honor to talk to you.
Solo duet.
When I, are you interested in that or no?
In what, the sax player?
Yeah.
I don't think I could be, no.
Okay. I got you.
All right. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure that door was closing.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry.
That door is closed.
Ain't no thing.
No. We'll see you tomorrow.
Definitely.
I can't wait to see you.
That sounds good. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Are you going to come back?
Oh, yeah. I'll be back there. We're going to introduce you.
Yep.
And
terrific.
I'll be the annoying guy to the right.
Yeah. We'll be the guys.
What's
like,
that?
Hey, man, it's Lou Graham.
That's really him, man.
That'll be us. Lou Graham.
All right. So that'll be us.
Yeah. We will not ask you to play pool.
No.
All right, Lou. Thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate the time with you. We'll see you tomorrow at the Milford Oyster Fest.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, thank you.